And congregation, could you turn to the Acts? Two pieces. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. This is the sequel to the Gospel of Luke. The book of Acts tells us how the ascended Jesus engaged in turning the world upside down. An upside down world, he turned it right side up so God would be worshiped as king and his people would serve him. We said it's a sequel to the Gospel of Luke, and the Gospel of Luke covered the earthly ministry of Jesus from the announcement of Jesus' birth all the way to his ascension. You could say that the first part was the ministry of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit on this earth in his body. Then when Jesus ascended into heaven, that was the turning point in his mission. And the second part of his mission is the book of Acts. We're going to be spending a little time in the book of Acts, but what we're going to see is that it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit through his body, the church. So if the Gospels are God with us, Jesus in the flesh, we can say that after that time, it's God in us. Jesus working in the hearts of the individuals and of his church. And so that's what we need to pay attention to as we're reading the book of Acts, is Jesus Christ is now living in us by his Holy Spirit. So hear the word of the Lord. Where Luke says, Acts 1 verse 1, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up into heaven, after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his sufferings, Jesus showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John the Baptist baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the time or dates the Father has set aside by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And after this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently into the sky as he was going up, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven. As far as we will read, this is the word of the Lord. God of love and power, you are revealed to us in your word, in the accounts of the prophecies and in the fulfillment that directs our attention to Jesus Christ. So open our eyes and open our ears as we hear the word proclaimed. May our hearts also be opened to you. We yearn for your coming in glory, and while we wait, we want to serve you with joy. May what is proclaimed point us to that end. Amen. I'm not a very patient person. When I'm going to the gas line at Costco, always try to find the shortest one, and it's a competition, right? I just want to get there. I want to get there ahead of anybody else. If you're ever in construction and suddenly you know that construction's coming, you're like, I want to pick the lane that gets me through the fastest. Are you like that too, or is this just me that I have to just really work on that? Well, I have things I have to work on, but I don't know. Some of you are golfers. I hear you talking about having to wait for the foursome that's ahead of you. You know, that's the slow bunch that are always hitting every direction, and it's hard to do. Or nowadays, Amazon orders. We live in a great area here, don't we? Like, you can order from Amazon, and you get it the next day, and sometimes if it's 2 or 3 days, you're like, huh, I could have, it should have come here faster. We're not a very patient people. Yeah, we have to wait for things in life. 9 months for that little baby to come. And the first 8 months, you're always like, this is great. That last month lasts about as long as the first 8 months, doesn't it? See some heads nodding. Well, we're not very patient people, but good things happen when we wait. And that's what Acts helps reaffirm. It's all about how Jesus turned the world upside down through his people, the church. We see that happening. But first, they had to wait. They have to wait for Jesus. And that was hard to do. In the waiting, we're going to find that on this door of his earthly ministry, there was a lot, it was like a hinge to a door. That we see Jesus leaving, and then he's going to come back. But here in the waiting is that hinge that turned the whole scene of his coming and his coming again, or his going and his coming again. And you had to believe with the disciples, if you can just slow that frame down a little bit. We read through it so quickly, but here the disciples are, and Jesus is gone. And they're looking and they're paralyzed with fear. Or they're paralyzed with something. What do we do next? Now what? What happens now? And it took, I think, maybe an angelic. We don't know who those two men were. They said they were dressed in white, so we think, well, maybe they were angels. Maybe it was Moses and Elijah. We don't really know who those two men were, but they were kind of, you can see them going up and looking up with them. Men of Galilee, this same Jesus that you saw go up is going to come back. Now go do what he asked you to do. And so they had to do what Jesus asked them to do. Now, Luke describes this same event. And it says there that while Jesus was blessing them, giving them their blessing, he ascended up into heaven. And the Gospel of Luke says very clearly that they, after this event, they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Well, now Luke sort of steps back and fills in that gap between Jesus blessing them, taking up into heaven, and them going to Jerusalem and worshiping with great joy. Here's that moment, that now what moment. And they're looking into the sky. And that reminder that this Jesus who you see going up is going to come back someday. That's a gentle reminder. In other words, he's saying, Jesus has got this. It's going to be okay. Now, go do what he told you to do. We know the rest of the story. Jesus stepped into another dimension, and they returned to Jerusalem. His last words to them were, "You will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." That's the message to the disciples. That's the message to us, church, too. We are to be witnesses to Jesus Christ and his story to the ends of the earth, wherever we go. So we're going to freeze this frame a moment and come back to it, the disciples standing there. But Luke covers a lot of territory in a few verses. We're looking, starting a new series here on the marks of the church. What does it mean to be gathered? Why do we do this? Why do we come together every week and worship? And what are we doing and what are we trying to accomplish? We're going to look at that in more detail. But here, Luke is sort of setting the stage for us. The verse 1, if you have your Bibles open, look at verse 1. It gives us sort of the subject of the book of Acts. It says, in my former book, Theophilus, that's the Gospel of Luke, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach. Don't be distracted by the title of this book, The Acts of the Apostles, because this is not about the apostles or their work. This is a book about Jesus. He's working through the apostles and the church in the person of his Holy Spirit. I love the commentary. Lloyd Ogilvie says that there is the time, he calls it between the lightning and the thunder. And what he means by that is the time of Christ on this earth is one, see it as one big event. The Gospels is like the lightning. The light of the world steps down into darkness. That's Jesus Christ. That's like the flash of lightning that we see. And then the thunder is Pentecost. That is when the Holy Spirit came with great signs and empowered the church. There were sounds that they heard and things that they saw. And now the church started and was inflamed. The church of Christ was born. We sing about that. But then there's that in-between time. If you've ever enjoy watching thunderstorms, you see the lightning and then you count. 1, 2, 3. Then you hear the rumbling. And sometimes there's not much time between that lightning and the rumbling of the thunder. And then you know, oh, that was very close. You could almost feel it. Well, here we are between the lightning and the thunder. And if you look at the Gospels, it's not so much a record of what Jesus did and taught. It is that, but hear me out. It's a record of what Jesus began to do and now acts what Jesus is continuing to do through his body, the church. Paul says it in Philippians, he who began a good work in you is going to carry it out to completion. Until the day of Christ. So until the day that Jesus Christ was taken up. Verse 2 in Acts chapter 1. There's that between time. That's the moment in time after the flash. But time of silence. That pregnant waiting for something to happen. And now we're going to see that God with us becomes God in us. So Jesus, in the early part of the chapter, Luke summarizes, what was he doing after his resurrection? He was proving to his disciples, I am alive. I'm not a figment of your imagination. I'm real. I'm not just a disembodied spirit floating around. Give me some fish, he says. I'll eat it for you. You see? It just disappears. Touch me. You can see the scars on my hands yet. It said he gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to his disciples. He walked on the road to Emmaus. He appeared, we learned, to 500 at once. So there is no question that Jesus was real. And we can be sure of the message that we proclaim, that it's not a made-up story. Jesus Christ is alive, and he is at work in our midst, and convincing proofs that he is alive. And his disciples were eyewitnesses to that. I never knew before this week how many times the books in the New Testament make this claim. John says it so well. If you read 1 John chapter 1, he says, we were eyewitnesses of what we saw happening. In 1 John 1, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim to you concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. We proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and is His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Again and again in the New Testament, the disciple says, we're only telling you what we saw and heard. It's all about Jesus Christ. And so that is the proclamation that is made. But we have to wait for the promise. The promise of the Heavenly Father. Once after the resurrection, it says in verse 4, during a meal, Jesus is talking with his disciples. And he's saying, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that the Father has promised. Now, two times in Acts 1 through 11, there's a contrasting word, but, that is put in there. And once is here in 1 verse 4, where he says, return to Jerusalem, but wait. Wait for it. There's going to be a waiting. There's going to be a delaying of God's fulfillment. In just a few days, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you, and then you will be engaged in the Great Commission. But don't get ahead of that. You have to wait. They're going to fulfill the Great Commission, but you have to wait first for something to happen. So the Great Commission, and we're going to get to this later, is one of the signs is that the Church of Jesus Christ needs to be a witnessing church. We need to be proclaiming the gospel. Here's what Jesus says in Matthew 28, the commission, the Great Commission it's called. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always. How can Jesus be with us if he's gone up into heaven? He's with us because the Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ in us. And now, his disciples are eager to get going. And so they're saying like, okay, Lord, at this time, are you going to fulfill your restore the kingdom now to Israel? Is now the time? And of course, that was not a bad question. It's good. Another sub-theme in Acts is the kingdom of God. And the hope of Israel all through the Old Testament from the time of the fall on is that there's going to be a seed coming. The promised Holy Spirit is going to come. And God is going to send his Christ into the world, the anointed one. All the signs were pointing to that. They waited for that. They longed for that. Is now the time going to come? It's not a bad question. The kingdom is now going to be filled. Now, Jesus talked a lot about the kingdom. In fact, when he first came on the scenes, his very first message, do you remember what that first message of Jesus Christ, when his very first words out of his mouth when he started his ministry on earth? Does anybody know what that is? I'll tell you. Repent. Why? For the kingdom of God is here in your midst. I am here, Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of the promise of God. I am right here. And Jesus said, if those who follow me would seek his kingdom first and all his righteousness, guess what? I'll provide for everything that you need. It's not a health and wealth promise. It's whatever you're going through right now, I'm going to provide what you need as you proclaim the kingdom wherever you go. Now, when we talk about the kingdom of God, we're referring to God's rule and reign over the whole universe. That's the broad definition. And over the hearts and lives of his people. God ruling over us. And Jesus said, you know what, Nicodemus? This is in John chapter 3. If you're going to be part of this kingdom, you basically need to be born again. You need to die to yourself and start all over. You need to keep surrendering your life to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When a man or a woman, boy or a girl, puts the Lord at the center of their life, when Jesus Christ is living at the center of all that you do and think, the kingdom of God, when it is a priority in our life, we will be at the center of God's will. The kingdom of God came with the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ returns as King and Judge, Jesus will then fully be crowned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is that now. Now, there's a few references to kingdom. I just want to highlight this to you because I think it's important. So, the beginning of Acts, what is Jesus Christ doing? He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and he taught about the kingdom of God. Now, fast forward to the end of the book of Acts. I love this. English teachers, this is an inclusio. They're like a parenthesis. That's very important. That means the whole book of Acts is about the kingdom of God. Because at the end, what's Paul doing in the last sentence of this book? Paul proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did that without boldness or without hindrance in the city of Rome where he was. And so it's all about the kingdom. And the kingdom's only mentioned five times here, but Acts is all about the kingdom. It's exciting. You look at Philip in Acts 8, verse 12. He's proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God where he's going. In verse 19, or chapter 19, verse 8, Paul is speaking boldly about the kingdom of God. And then Paul is proclaiming in chapter 20, verse 25, he's proclaiming the kingdom of God among the people in Ephesus. So there it is, the kingdom of God. It's there. So the disciples were not wrong that God was bringing in his kingdom. It's just they had one problem. They thought it was just going to be about Israel. It's not. It's about every nation, tribe, language, and tongue. It needs to be people from all around the world. A representation of the body of Jesus Christ will include people from every nation on earth. And that is a worthy goal. We look around. We're a little bit homogeneous here. That's okay. But that's not where we want to settle. We want people from every tribe, nation, language, and tongue to come and join us and be a part of the journey that we're on in the kingdom of God. But wait. How is that going to happen? First, you will receive power. Verse 6. Is this the time you're going to restore your kingdom? They were asking, like, when? Is now the time? And Jesus is saying, don't worry about the times or dates. Don't worry about when this is all going to take place. What you need to do right now is to proclaim Jesus Christ. But you will receive power. God gives power in the waiting. The fruits of the Spirit will be at work as we wait. Wait for the promise, he says. You will receive the power of God himself. Church, we need to hear this. The Holy Spirit needs to be driving everything that we do. There is no gospel of God without God being in the center of that gospel. There is no grace of God if Jesus Christ is not the source of that hope that we have in him. Jesus Christ is our hope, and God himself empowers the people for the church. Now, did you know that while we wait, God waits too? God is a waiting God. He is very patient. He's not slow in fulfilling his promises, says Peter. He waits. He waits even at times delaying his actions. Just think about one example, Jesus Christ on the cross. The Bible tells us that after Jesus died, he was buried in the tomb. God waited one day. God waited 2 days. God waited 3 days. Why 3 days? Because at the point when all hope was gone, God, by his power, raised Jesus Christ from the dead, so that there is no mistake that Jesus just didn't swoon and then revive himself. No, he was dead. Dead, dead, and God rose him up. God did that miracle. And that leads to a last statement. But wait, you will be my witnesses in all Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The waiting that we have to do is not sitting around doing nothing. It is an active waiting, brothers and sisters. The Holy Spirit is working in us to witness, to proclaim the message, the good news. Proclaim what Jesus Christ has done in your life to everybody who cares to listen. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Tell that to others in any way that you can. And beginning in Jerusalem, begin right where you're at. Our families need to hear the good news of what Jesus Christ is doing. We need to be witnessing in that unit that God has put together, that family unit. That's our Jerusalem. And Judea can be your neighbors next door. Do you know your neighbors by name? Are you saying to them, or are you saying to God, I pray for my neighbor so-and-so. I pray that you will bless their life. I pray that you will encourage them. I pray that you'll help me walk with them. Are you praying for neighbors around you? That's your Samaria. And how about further than that, in the city of Racine, we have opportunities. We do occasionally do little launches out there, working with Halo, working with Harvest Outreach, doing our summer mission project. But that's not the end of it. We don't just do that and then quit. But the idea there is that we want to spread the news of Jesus Christ wherever we go, and then to the ends of the earth. I don't know, there may be people here today that will one day be supported by the church to do mission work around the world, who knows where, and we want to support them. You will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. That brings us back to that frame, that frozen frame. The disciples looking up, saying, what do I do next? What do I do next? You might be saying that. What do you do next? Here's the command given. It's going to be freeing. Wait. Wait on God. It doesn't mean we're going to be motionless. Not going to keep on staring into heaven doing nothing. There's something God wants you to do right now. But you have to wait for his Holy Spirit. Why are you staring at the sky? In other words, go do what Jesus told you to do. Go, wait for the promise, wait for the power, and then wait in the witnessing. Tell others about Jesus Christ. Wait for the Lord, says Psalm 27. Be strong and take heart. And wait for the Lord. I'm going to read it by conclusion. I just really feel led to do this. This verse kept popping up a lot this week, way back in the Old Testament, Isaiah 40. Why do you complain, O Jacob? Why do you say, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? Are you waiting in that moment? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The ends of the earth will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. Even young people grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, those who wait on the Lord, will renew their strength. They will soar with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Wait on the Lord. Move in his strength and his power. And be his witnesses as you're waiting. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word of truth. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to live in us, to live in all those who trust in you alone for their salvation. Thank you for the promise that you will guide us into all truth. Make us, by your Spirit, to be diligent students of your word. Give us soft hearts and teachable spirits and a deep hunger for your truth. Thank you that your promise to Israel still stands, and that one day they are going to be fulfilled. We long for that day, even now, but in the meantime, make us faithful in our witness in the very place that you have planted us. And to you be all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's say thank you to God in the giving of our tithes and offerings. Giving is one of the things that the Bible instructs the church to do. It's part of our waiting that we share out of the abundance of God's gifts to us. And we're receiving an offering for World Renew. For those of you who don't know what World Renew is like, it's sort of like the Red Cross, our version of that, where if there's a disaster that happens, World Renew comes there and walks with people in the midst of their disaster. And so that's what our offering is for today. Give as God has blessed you to give.